Well, as I promised, David Dolan with the Middle East News Update. David, let's get right to the lead story I would have to imagine coming out of Israel, and that has to be the cancellation by Prime Minister Netanyahu of that fourth prisoner release. Last time we talked, it had just been postponed, but I imagine now either pressure came on Prime Minister Netanyahu from his own governmental leaders, or he finally got some sense and said, why release these prisoners? This peace process is not going anywhere anyway. So why put these murderers back on the street? What do you think happened?
Well, Jimmy, it seems that what the key change there, the tipping point, if you will, was Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president's decision, announcement that he would take his statehood bid back to the United Nations, to a group of UN agencies, apply for full statehood participation in these different UN committees, which would be a backhanded way of gaining full UN statehood recognition. And of course, the Oslo Peace Accord, signed between the late Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin in 1993, spelled out very clearly that neither side would declare a unilateral outcome of their dispute over land and over statehood and over these issues, but that they would negotiate a solution that both would be able to live with. And essentially, Abbas is again saying, no, negotiations are finished. We're just going to have our state. We're going to declare it, proclaim it, and set it up. We don't care what you say, Israel, or anything. Again, that totally violates the seminal Oslo Peace Accord that was the foundation of any future accord that might be negotiated. Of course, now it looks like that isn't going to happen. And we've been saying all along, I've been saying that wasn't going to take place, and it isn't. But that was the key tipping point, because then Tzipi Livni, the head of the negotiating team, the justice minister in Israel, the head of the left-leaning Kadima party, and Yair Lapid, the head of the centrist Yesh Atid party, which is There Is a Future in Hebrew, both of these leading cabinet ministers then announced that they do not support the prisoner release going forward at this time because of Abbas's actions. So once Netanyahu got the approval of the heads of his two centrist parties to halt the release, it was a done deal. So that was the tipping point, and it probably spells the end of the peace process at this time. And of course, John Kerry's been over there, rushed over to Israel and to Ramallah, Jerusalem and Ramallah, to try to persuade both sides to stay in the game, but it looks like that's not going to happen.
David, is this a black eye for Kerry and or the Obama administration?
Jimmy, it's what you and I have discussed many times before. It's exactly as I expected the outcome to be. There was no chance that a peace accord could be arrived at this particular time. With goodness, this week alone we had the announcement that the 1 millionth Syrian refugee had arrived in Lebanon. Lebanon, a tiny country, teetering on the brink of a new civil war right now, and they're hosting 1 million people from next door that side with the Sunni Muslims against Hezbollah, and Hezbollah with its weapons. Syria in full-scale war, problems in Turkey, violence in Iraq, and then, of course, Egypt, and then, most importantly, Iran's nuclear program. All far more important issues for Israel than a peace deal with the Palestinians, who don't apparently want a peace deal. And again, Abbas is turning to the UN once more, is a tactic that cannot succeed, because if Israel doesn't recognize such a state, it simply won't exist. It will be in name only. And that's the reality of it, yet he's pursuing that line, meaning, as Lapid said, I think he used the words, this raises severe doubts that Abbas is really genuinely interested in any sort of a peace treaty at all. So now that the centrist government parties have come to the conclusion that the right-wing parties already held, the peace process looks dead. And Kerry, well, this was a predictable outcome. Why he spent so much time on this one? Good grief, did anyone notice that NATO broke ties with Russia this week? That is a huge development, one very disturbing in Israel, because they now assume that the attempt by the international community to destroy Syria's chemical weapons will not succeed, because that was backed by Russia and pushed by Russia. Now that's probably not going to be the case. So a far more important development, and yet Kerry's once again over there acting as a mediator, and people just think it's rather pointless, if not, as you said, humiliating.
You mentioned just a moment ago Iran. The U.S. head of the military, General Dempsey, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was in Israel meeting with his counterpart and the Minister of Defense, Moshe Yaalon. And what the U.S. Military leader said was that Israel trusts the United States and are assured that Israel will see the United States bomb Iran, their nuclear program, if they need to. Do you believe that? Do you think Israel believes that?
Given the record so far of the Obama administration, there will be severe doubts, maybe, as to whether that really would be the case. My understanding with contacts that are in touch with Prime Minister Netanyahu on a regular basis and that is that he has always felt that the United States in the end would take on the military role that it needs to take on, as you will, in the end, because Saudi Arabia and other countries of great importance to the United States, along with Israel, its closest regional ally, just cannot abide by Iran building a nuclear bomb and will not. And so there's going to come military action one way or the other unless Iran halts the program, which they've made abundantly clear they're not going to, not willing to, despite all these negotiations. So it's either Israel takes them on, backed quietly by some of these Sunni Arab governments and others, or the United States does it. The U.S. can do a much quicker, fuller, more comprehensive assault than Israel can, a larger force. We have naval carriers, the United States, off the coast of Iran, which Israel does not have at all, and they don't possess them, etc. It seems like the Obama administration is basically saying, okay, you're right, we're giving these talks with Iran a chance. If they fail, we recognize that the military option that we've always said has been on the table has to be picked up and carried out, and we have to play a leading role in that. And I think Netanyahu probably does believe that that's the conclusion that the administration has come to. And let's remember that 86 senators sent the president a letter saying these talks are going nowhere, we need to increase the sanctions on Iran. So he would have little backing in the Senate if he refused to take action if the talks formally come to an end, which everybody expects they will.
In previous conversations, David, you and I have talked about the tense situation at Israel's northern border. Now, that northern border on the western side is with Lebanon. On the eastern side, it's with Syria. And as I understand it, the Israeli Defense Force is now training for a ground invasion into Lebanon. What's the latest on that?
Again, I mentioned the million Syrian refugees in Lebanon. Almost all of those are Sunni Muslims, meaning they support the Lebanese Sunni Muslims as well, or their fellow religionists. That greatly strengthens the central government in Beirut because it's Sunni-dominated. But Hezbollah is, of course, a Shiite, and they're very powerful with this powerful militia. Well, what the Israelis may be gaming here is that now they could take on Hezbollah on the ground with the support of a majority of the people in Lebanon. That would be both Sunni Lebanese and Sunni Syrians living there. That might make such a task easier. But again, this isn't Israel warmongering. This is Hezbollah saying all the time that they're preparing to strike Israeli cities with deadly rockets, and maybe chemical warheads, and maybe a nuclear warhead, a small device that could have been smuggled in or something. So the Israelis are very concerned about this, again, far more than peace with the Palestinians or anything else down the future. And a ground operation is very likely, especially if Hezbollah does fire any of those rockets, and they have their hand on the trigger, and Iran may push them to do that as it did Islamic Jihad early last month with the barrage of rockets. We're still getting some rockets, by the way, this week from the Gaza Strip, just a few, but some. So if that happens, the IDF will go in, I'm sure, and this time, I would say, fairly annihilate Hezbollah on the ground.
We'll have that story in the front of our agenda with our next conversation with David Dolan. We'll continue to report on it. David Dolan is the man who keeps us updated on that region of the world, the Middle East, a significant player in end-time prophecy. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. Talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.